Please pray with me if you would. Father, your word is a light for us. It's a lamp for us. It leads us. It directs us. It guides us into truth, you tell us. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides, Lord, and it gives us hope and courage. And we need that as we live in the brokenness of this world. And all of us today, we bring different stuff with us. Some of us have had a great week. Others of us have had a terrible year. Lord, we don't know how we're going to take the next step forward, and yet by your Spirit, you promise that you are with us. And so as we take some time to look at the redemption of our resurrected bodies, maybe a topic we don't look at very much, I pray that it would be clear. I pray that it would fill us with hope, more hope than questions, although some questions and curiosity is good, but that the heart of it, Jesus, you would be honored for what you have already done, the first fruits of the resurrection, and what you will do for us when you come again. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to receive that gift today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, it's great to be with you today. I'm glad to be here in person, get to see all your faces and see who falls asleep during the sermons when I'm not here to look at you. But I know that you're going to be encouraged and challenged by the message today. I'm going to leave this slide up here for a moment and while I talk, because I think it's kind of the direction we're going. For we will put on new heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. And that's been at the heart of this series, the heart of the resurrection, and this whole idea of redemption, that physical is not bad. Physical is good. God created it, and he looked at his creation, and he said, this is what? Good. So physical is not bad. It is good. And we're not just floating off into space when we die, but we will receive new bodies along the way. A few weeks ago, I was running on my treadmill, and I've got a TV up there that I like to watch because it helps make the time go by more quickly. And it came to a commercial time, and usually when it's commercials, I try to look away from it, ignore it, and hope they get done as quickly as possible so that the time will go by more quickly. But this time, I was drawn to the commercials because they all had one thing in common. They were all about our bodies. I found it very interesting. There was a spot on this new medicine that's out there that if you take just two doses of it, it will clear all your skin irregularities. There was another spot for the newest, latest, and greatest exercise equipment that if you use it just a few minutes a day, it's going to transform your life. There was a spot for weight loss management system, and they guaranteed if you follow their steps, you will lose what? Weight. And finally, there was a spot about the need for universal health care insurance and how important insurance was. And I thought it was so strange because it feels like in our culture, and just shout me down if I'm wrong, but we are valuing life less and less. Doesn't it seem like that? You know, we got this crazy stuff going on even in our own state about end of life and, you know, assisted suicide and all that. And you got all the other stuff at the beginning of life. It feels like we're valuing life less and less. And yet, we spend so much time on these bodies. We spend so much time caring for these bodies, trying to extend how long they can live. In fact, I got some crazy statistics for you about bodily obsession. In 2021, we spent $4.1 trillion, that's with a T, trillion dollars on healthcare. Okay, that's just on healthcare alone. Here's some more coming your way. $2.7 billion on home gyms. Some of you all out there did that, didn't you? You were going to get in shape during COVID, weren't you? Then the COVID-15 came and hit many of us along the way. $35 billion on gym memberships. I got to get into that business, man, because how many of us have gym memberships that never get used and they're set on repeat? Here comes another one. $55 billion on hair care. Come on, y'all. Who's giving into that? Brian is not. Me and Brian are not. My wife makes fun of me because I use a bar of soap for my shampoo. That's all I got in the shower is a bar of soap. Some of you think I'm crazy. I don't have all the other foo-foo and all that, okay? $55 billion. $9 billion was spent last year on cosmetic care, so stuff like Botox and all of that. So all this effort is being put into extend the lives of our bodies. And yet, here's the truth. In the United States of America, our health is as bad as it has ever been. And actually, our life expectancy is getting lower and lower and lower. And whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, you can be a hardened atheist, but we all agree that outwardly, we are what? Wasting away. We feel it every day. Some of you kids and youth who ran off, they don't feel it quite as much as the rest of us who are getting older each and every day. But isn't it interesting that despite this, and despite what we believe when it comes to Jesus or not, we all have this sense and we all have this built-in idea that we want to preserve these bodies, that there's something good about them, that there's something worth fighting for. And so it's strange to us when we feel the aches and pains, when diseases come along, when they don't work as they were intended to work. We understand that that's wrong, that that's not how it was meant to be. But here's where it gets different. You see, if you have no hope for what will be, then you're running a fool's errand, aren't you? Because the last time I checked, death has an undefeated record, doesn't it? We may think we're going to live forever in these bodies, but the reality is, and history tells us, that nobody ever does. And so if you have no hope of resurrection and you're just trying to hold on to this earthly tent, as Paul calls it, for now, you are not going to win. And it is going to be a fool's errand, and you are just losing hope all along the way, day after day after day. But if you follow Jesus and you trust what his word says, that not only are these bodies going to be raised to new life, but they're going to be fully redeemed and fully transformed, then it changes how we even look at life right now. We can be reminded, and this is so cool, y'all, that each and every one of us, the psalmist says, we're created and formed by the very hand of God in our mother's womb. What does that say about the value of these physical bodies? Right? That they are incredibly important, incredibly beautiful, wonderfully and fearfully made. Well, Joel and I and the rest of us preachers, we kind of hope you're picking up on what this series has been about by now. And it's pushing back against this idea in the theological world, we call it Gnosticism, but basically it means this, that spiritual stuff is good and physical stuff is bad. And somehow we've bought into this lie, even as followers of Christ in the church, and it's infected our idea of heaven, it's infected our idea of our bodies, and really what it does is it steals our hope, and it steals this real hope that we can have in what God is going to do when he comes again, redeeming and restoring everything physical in creation, and even, yes, our bodies. And everywhere in Scripture, from Jesus to Paul, all the way to Revelation and John, there's this whole idea of resurrection and redemption. We've looked at it in creation, and today we're going to look at it in our physical bodies. But I'm going to take you back to Romans chapter 8. We were there a couple of weeks ago, and in Romans chapter 8, Paul is talking about how all of creation is crying out for restoration, for redemption. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to restore and renew all things created and us in our physical bodies. Here's what Paul writes, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the wages of sin is what? Is death, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit gives you life, because you have been made right with God." I love that phrase. You are not being made right with God, but you have been made right with God. Salvation has been given to you right now. You've been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Even if you're falling asleep right now, even if you've had a bad week, even if you've had a great week, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He goes on, "And we believers also groan, along with all creation,
Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Anybody else long for that day? I long for that day. We too wait with, here's our word, eager hope. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. I love that phrase. The new bodies he has promised us. Friends, here is where the questions begin. What will these new bodies be like? Anybody else ever thought of this? Like, how old am I going to be? What if I lost a child? Will it be, you know, a child age or a full grown? What's that going to look like? And everybody's favorite question, what about pets? What happens to pets? I remember as a kid somebody saying, well, pets certainly won't be in the new heavens and the new earth because they don't have souls. And then I ran across Isaiah's words where he talks about what's going to happen at the last day when God comes again and makes all things right, and the lion is going to lie with the what? The lamb, and the child is going to play in the hole of a what? A cobra, a snake. It's kind of funny, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, the guy who started the Reformation, he said this once, this great quote. He's talking to a family or somebody about a dog, and he says, take heart, my little puppy. At the day of the resurrection, thou too will have a little golden tail. Isn't that kind of cool? Like, I don't know if pets are going to be there or not, but I think they will because all of creation is groaning. So the wrong question is not what are we going to look like and how is it all going to work, but the right question is to see Jesus and how it worked for him. N.T. Wright says it this way, Jesus is both the model for the Christian's future body and the means by which it will come. And so Jesus is the model, and after he's been raised from the dead, you remember he's there outside of the tomb, and at first the women don't recognize him. They think he's the gardener, but then they totally recognize him. So it's like it's Jesus, but he's different. And then later he goes to be with his disciples, and remember they're still behind locked doors, and he walks through the locked door, but then he has something to eat with them. And so we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we do know, and we can't miss this, that it is a real physical body. And so not only is Jesus and his body the model for what is to be, but he's also the means by which we receive it. Paul talks about Jesus and his resurrection being the first fruits of what will come. The first fruits, the model of what will be for each of us when he comes again and raises our body. We just said it again in the Apostles' Creed, didn't we? I believe in the resurrection of the what? The body. We don't say, I believe that we're going to be spirits floating around forever. We say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And here's the thing. A God can do incredible stuff with dust. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed this? Like Adam is formed out of what? The dust of the earth. Ezekiel, new life is breathed into these dry bones, into the dust by the Spirit of God. Jesus takes some dust in his hands and he spits in it, which is kind of gross, and he makes it mud. You remember that? And he puts it on the blind guy's eyes and the guy can see again. And so don't worry about if your body is all in one place when Jesus comes again, or if you've decided to go the route of cremation and your ashes have been spread. I think God can figure this out. Anybody else agree with that? So you don't have to worry about that. He can do incredible things with dust. And because Jesus, when he comes again, is going to resurrect and redeem our bodies, it impacts how we care for them even now as we wait with eager hope. I don't know if this phrase is going to make sense to any of you, but I really like it. Resurrection describes life after death.
We're living life now. We're going to die. And then there's real life again. Life after life after death. Maybe Paul can help us unpack this phrase a little bit. Joel read these words from 1 Corinthians 15. Really an incredible chapter into 16 and 17. All about the resurrection and what it's going to mean for us. And so here's what he says in verse 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, quite a metaphor here, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. There's one thing I don't want you to miss here, okay? Paul is describing our bodies in two ways. The first is as a tent. And any of you who have done any tenting in your life, you know that that is not a permanent place. But then he's also describing ourselves, our bodies, as a heavenly home, okay? He's not describing heaven as a home here. He's talking about our bodies and what will be, okay? And so there's movement from what will be a place of transient to what will be a place of permanent, from a tent to a house. Do you see what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm putting down here? Anybody else like tenting? I love to tent. But a few years ago, I was up in Canada. I thought it'd be a great idea to put my, what do we call it, Joel? Our hammock, covered tent. It's a hammock with a cover. It'd be a great idea to put this out on the point between two trees. Nothing else around it. About 2 a.m, this huge storm rolls in. And I'm like swinging in this tent, and there's lightning, and you'd have seen a grown man crying in that tent, because I was yearning for a permanent, safe place, a home. A good friend of mine's a pastor in Omaha, and we also saw what happened there in the last few days and into Iowa, these incredible tornadoes. You do not want to be in a tent in that kind of weather. You want to be in a permanent structure. And so what Paul is talking about here is how we're going to move away from decay and brokenness. It's this longing for something more. It's this idea that what we have now, it's a picture, like in a mirror, of what will be when Jesus comes again, a picture that's going to be so much better. And so he's not running away from the physical, but he's actually running toward it. But it's just a different mode of how we will be when Jesus comes again. And the thing is, we don't run away from the tent. We don't try to escape the tent. I know some people say we're just trying to escape from this world. That's not what it's about. But we also don't depend on the tent, because one day the tent is going to break down. He continues, we grow weary in our present body. Somebody say amen to that. See y'all walking in with walkers, Kirk, right? This can be weary. We grow weary as we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. We know what will be because we just have gotten a small taste of it here. And we will not be spirits without bodies. I don't know if y'all are into tattoos or not, but I'd love everybody to just tattoo that right here. We will not be spirits without bodies. Remember that, because it brings hope. It goes on, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. We get it. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Why not? Because we understand that there's work for us to do here while we wait with eager hope. And so do you feel the tension going on? It's not that we just want to die and get rid of it, although at times we feel that way. But instead, rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by what? By life. Paul's got these great words where he talks about death. He says, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? He says, that will all fade away. And it's all captured in this chapter about resurrection. See, death will be defeated when Jesus comes again and raises our bodies to be victorious like his. Death is not our friend, y'all. Death is not a gateway to something else. Death is our enemy. It was defeated on the cross, and we will receive that victory when Jesus comes again. So it's kind of interesting, then why don't we just, you know, hurry our way out of here? Paul talks about this tension too, okay? And this is really, really important. Whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to do what? Say it with me. Please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Don't get scared by those last words, okay? This is not a scale of good deeds versus bad deeds. It's not how we're saved. Paul talked about that earlier as I read from Romans chapter 8. It's already been given to us. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 5 where he says he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. He says salvation has already been given to you. You have passed from death to life. The picture of good deeds here is what flows out of our faith, right? Fruit, the fruit that comes. If there is no fruit in our lives, then there probably isn't any faith. And so don't get distracted by that, but I want you to look above. Whether we are here in this body or away from this body, waiting for the resurrection, our goal is to please him. And so we don't depend on these tents for hope because they're going away. But as we wait, we are filled with eager hope for what will be. And yet Jesus invites us to be with him on his mission of making this world more like it was in the beginning and more like it will be when he comes again and makes everything right. He says each of you has a role to play in this. Whether you're a pastor or you run off to your work this week or you stay at home, whatever your role is in life, each of us are called as ambassadors of Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit lives within us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we don't do it in our own strength and in our own power. That's a beautiful picture of grace. But God is with us every step of the way. And when we mess up, and we do, raise your hands if you do. Okay, most of us are good on this. Then he picks us up again by his grace and his mercy. And he says, Chuck was putting both hands up. He's like, I'm all in on that. He raises us up with his grace and his mercy. And he says, let's try again tomorrow. Reflecting who I am, helping others to find their identity and their life in me. And that's what it means to be filled with eager hope, even through the groans, even through the desire for that heavenly home, that permanent place for our bodies to be restored and redeemed. And so Woodbury Lutheran Church, we got work to do, right? Jesus is coming any moment. We know that. We talked about it last week. But as we wait, we do so with people who are filled with eager hope because we are not dependent on these tents, but we are dependent on Jesus as the model and the way by which we will receive these new bodies. So thank you for being on mission with me, with each other. Let's continue to show this world what it looks like to follow Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you all praise and glory that you would send your Son and Jesus. We thank you for your heart that was postured toward us when you took on flesh and showed up in this world. And your flesh was perfect, not impacted by sin in any way. And because of that perfection, your sacrifice on the cross, your resurrection from the dead, we have now been given the Holy Spirit that guides and directs our lives, that gives us incredible hope even as these bodies are breaking down. And Lord, today I pray for those who are hurting physically, that you would heal them of that pain, that you would give them a taste of redemption and resurrection so that they can live for your glory more and more right now, that your glory would be shown through them, that you would receive all the honor for their healing, that others would see that in their lives and give you glory. This world would look more and more like
the way you want it to as we prepare for your coming. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity to care for these bodies that were created in our mother's wombs, formed by your very hands. By doing so, may we be an example to the world around us of what will be when you come again. And every step of the way, more and more overwhelm us, overflow us with your incredible hope. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.